Well, today, our sermon today is about have faith in Jesus, simple and yet deep. As my sister just said, two small, short passages, Romans chapter 10, 17, and Luke 9, 23. This message is based on what we have been going through the past month with our theme of Zion being our home. Zion is our home. Is the home of faith. Centrality of that faith is Jesus Christ. You remember the Nicene Creed, right? I believe in God the, and then the church. Perfect. Oh, boy, you all have A+. And then from there, we come to our alliance home, the centrality of Jesus. Jesus is with what? Our Savior, right? And then? Sanctifier. And then? You got it. And then from that, we try to see who is Jesus from the book of John. We're not finished with John. We'll come back to John. Where, yes, Jesus is the living God. Through the seven I ams. To remind us that John portrayed Jesus as the I am. Reminding us how God introduced himself to Moses in the book of Exodus. When Moses was called at the burning bush, they said, Moses, I'm sending you to my people, to Pharaoh, to set my people free. And Moses said, well, who are you? If I go there, they ask you, who is sending you? What shall I say? God will introduce himself to Moses with this, I am who I am is sending you. That's where you see the God named there, I am. What does it mean? He's eternal present God, eternal living God. You get the point. Seven I am in the book of John to portray Jesus Christ as the living God. Now, you can proclaim that you're God, but what happened when the fact, the action contradict what you're saying. What we're going to find in the book of John, you see, we saw what? Seven miracles. Seven deeds. Starting when he turned water into wine. To show that he is the author of creation. That he is above creation. Seven action, seven miracle to show that what he said I am, action back up what he's saying. And then, yes, we have seven witnesses. We will come to the seven witnesses after all this sermon. When by God's grace I come back from Africa, we'll come back to the seven witnesses. The one that he met, and they clearly say, men and women, you know what? You are the God in my life. So this Jesus, for the time being, is enough to get his proclamation back up by the seven action miracle that he did to show that he's God. Now the question is, you and I, in the house, our home, how do you respond to him? How you respond to that God, individually, collectively, how do we respond to him? Because you know what? God created us in the Garden of Eden to be responsible, to be responding to him and to be responsible. You have two words. You respond. You see, there's a dialogue, there's a communication. When we meet, relationship, we speak to each other, we respond to each other. God creating you and me spiritually, He wants us to respond to Him. Everyone is expected to respond to Him. Now, your response sometimes can be yes, I agree, or no. Right? Every day, yes or no. You know, today, they're warning you. People call you on the phone and say, oh, is this Stephanie? You say yes, and that they hang up. The time you know your credit card is being used all over the place. Do you know that happening now? I know because it happened to my wife. Say, Kenan, yes. Oh, but the time you know it, 5,000, 2,000. I say, hey, well, you better stop this now. But yes, you respond. The point is, you and I are created by God to respond. And in that response, you have to be responsible for your response. A little bit complicated. But you see where we're going. It's a relationship. So this house, this home, Zion is our home, is based on the person and the work of Jesus Christ, with whom we have a relationship. In that relationship with God is a relationship where we respond to Him. And in that response, we are responsible. Based on that, let's look at three different ways to respond to Jesus. These are three different ways I always talk to you all the time. Sometimes you notice in my sermon, I go back to it again and again. I like that because you know what? Teaching is repetition. And these are key things that you're going to remember. Three different ways that people respond to Jesus Christ. And you have to choose yours. And we believe that, yes, you know, the one that God always wanted to respond, we found it. The first one is fear. You remember fear. Isaiah chapter 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. My righteous right hand. The point here is do not fear. Some people, they respond to God with fear. They're afraid that God will take away their lifestyle. They're afraid that, you know what, they won't have freedom. Therefore, yes, I believe what you're saying, but I'm afraid if I say yes, especially in countries like where it's not easy to be a Christian. I'm afraid that my parent will reject me. I'm afraid that my friend will reject me. I'm afraid that I'll be ridiculed in my workplace. I don't want to be known as a follower of Jesus Christ. And it goes on. Do you have any list of fear that prevent you to respond to Jesus Christ? Or you know people in your family circle, in your friend circle, that fear, they know the truth. But somehow, somewhere, they're afraid. They don't trust this God. That God is telling you, fear not. You just heard that Jesus Christ is the same God here. You see? Because I am your God. See, I am. It's not I was your God. Or I will be. But I am. He is the present tense. And I want you to take your heart in that. To be comforted in that. The God who is always present is the God that you should not be afraid of. But unfortunately, some people, for whatever reason, the reason why long list, they're afraid. Do not be part of that. And then the second way to respond is what? Foolishness. But to help you to remember all this is OFF. That's why I call them the three F in the Bible. Sometimes you're preaching, you want to come with the right word without shocking people. I want to put F word. I thought, the F word, you don't like that in English language. Culturally, that's not fair. So I changed that. So I had to find different way. But it would be easier to, if the F word, but hey, you can't say it, right? Okay? So foolishness. Psalm 14, 1. The fool says in his heart, there's no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There's no one who does good. You know people, they say, oh, this garbage of God, there's no God. Atheists. How many atheists you know in your circle? Maybe you are one of them. In my ministry, I run into a few people like that. One time I was preaching in a church Georgetown, Alliance Church, a big church was there. I went to preach there. At the end of the service, a gentleman was running. Pastor, he gave me his business card. Be in touch with me. I call him later. Long story short, he invited my whole family to go and have supper with them at their house. We walk in their big house. Wow. Surprise. Turned out he was the international director for a big company. Offices in Montreal and in Japan, Tokyo. And he said, Pastor, I was shocked when my daughter came one day and said she's a Christian. Having money, because God has blessed me financially, I spent 3 years traveling with my daughter from one major city to another to show her the stupidity that she believes in this stupid God. Look at all this. There's no God. It's all about the human intelligence. In the end, the third year, he himself came to know Jesus Christ, trying to convince the daughter that she is wrong, that she's foolish. He realized that he himself was foolish. Turn around and start writing books about Jesus Christ. I say, thank you so much for sharing this story with me. My friend, brothers, there are many, many people who think God does not exist. What happens? They put themselves in God's seat. They become their own God. And this is why Easter, the Bible tells us, the cross is foolishness for those who perish. But for those who are being saved, the cross is the power of God. But for those who are going to hell, they don't trust in God. They think this is foolishness. For them, Jesus is foolishness. The cross is foolishness. Guess what? They're perishing. Brother, my sisters, if you are still in this category of foolishness, making yourself God, believe me, you are not I am the rest of your life. Sooner or later, you might be focusing on your money, thinking you have your money, but guess what? One day, death will take away from that money. Today, you think, oh, I'm the president of this company and that company. I'm the pastor of this big company. Sure. One day, the I am will come back to you. And will be perishing for you. Therefore, it's foolishness to deny the great I am. Accept what he did for you on the cross. And receive that power of forgiveness, and yes, of healing. And this is where run away from fear, from foolishness. And what is the one, the last F for all of us to just go to? Faith. Hebrews 6:11-6 says this, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. It's not saying it's existed or he will exist. You see, present tense, he exists. He exists. Goes back with the I am. He is a present God. And then He rewards those who earnestly seek him. How do you seek him? You cannot seek him with fear. You cannot seek him with foolishness. You seek him with faith because you believe that he exists. May God bless you and I with faith. The reward here is perishing. The reward is here perishing at the end because you don't give your life to him. We reward him here. You see, he rewards those earnestly who seek him. Earnestly. He's so strong. He's so strong. Deeply. This God wants to reward you with eternal life. The abundant life, today and tomorrow. Choose faith. And yes, what is faith? What do we mean by faith? Faith is the means by which believers come to God and put their trust in him for salvation. Trust. You can interchange faith and trust. Faith means trust. Do you trust in this God? Do you trust in this God? Do you trust your bank? Do you trust your church? It's trust. How do you define trust? You put your firm belief. I trust him. What makes you trust people? Can you give me some element? What makes you trust people? When you come to trust, what makes you trust people? Let's start there. YK, hey. What makes you trust people?
By his action, pure action, what he did.
Action, what he did. Emily, what makes you trust people?
Character.
Hey, you. You don't trust anybody? Okay.
Knowing them from before.
Audrey.
Past experience.
Joanne.
Relationship. Know them long enough.
Okay.
Or the relationship, I mean, like my parents. I trust my parents.
Okay. You better be prepared. I'm just going to come to you, okay? This is a different way of preaching. This is what it is, okay? Yeah, I forgot your name, but
Jessica,
thank you. I need some coffee.
Bible,
trust. Okay, Kai Mark, what makes you trust people?
Experience.
Margaret, do you trust him?
They've proven that they're trustworthy.
Proven. Thank you, Jace. Okay. Philip.
Knowledge.
Your name, please.
Iris.
Okay. What makes you trust people?
Trust Bible first.
Okay.
Attitude. I think maybe he looked like something. Maybe.
Okay.
He looked like he's a bad guy. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. Okay, that better be punctual. Okay.
I'm just going to agree with White Case of actions.
Action.
So it proves you.
Action.
Trustworthy.
Okay.
I feel it's truth.
Truth.
Yeah.
Perfect. I have a tendency with truth as well for me. Truth. I want you to remember this. This is key for the sermon for us today. The trust. A lot of people are in their God, but you ask them, how do you trust him? They start to give you argument, it's shaky. It's not solid. The faith God wants you to give, to want you and I to have, is on a solid ground. Here on earth and there in heaven. It's not blind faith. Sometimes we define faith like it's a blind, we have to trust. No. It's a trust which is come in a tangible way that we're going to learn. God provide believer with the faith needed to believe in him. He provide himself. He provide and he provide the proof. And yes, the entire Christian life is lived out on the foundation of faith. In other words, it's on the foundation of trust. Change faith by trust here. The entire Christian life is lived out on the foundation of trust. Whatever the way you define your trust. And yes, Stephanie, can you read that for us? A different way of doing preaching today, please.
If one were asked to summarize the entirety of the Bible's teachings into one word, a good choice would be faith. It is hard to overestimate faith as a biblical concept because it inhabits almost everything that occurs in the scriptures. When Abraham follows God, it is because of his faith. When Moses leads the children of Israel to the promised land, it is by faith. And when the children of Israel fail to possess the promised land, it is due to a lack of faith. By faith, David slew a giant, and Daniel survived the lion's den. It was faith that led the apostles to proclaim the good news of Jesus to the world, and so on, until we arrived at our tiny little sliver in time and our
faith. Thank you so much. And here we think, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Whatever you define with trust, put on him right here. That's a lesson for you. Whatever way you have defined trust today, change that and put on him here. You know, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Jesus Christ. And yes, then he said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily. It's not monthly. It's not yearly. It's one day at a time. Do you trust him today? Do you trust him tomorrow? You have known people who were followers of Jesus Christ many years ago. Today you don't see them anymore. You know what the solution is? A daily call. Your victory of yesterday in Jesus does not guarantee your victory today, but he is still available today. But do you trust him today? That's the point. It's not that he sees to be trustworthy today. It's about you. Do you still trust him today? He is faithful today because he is the I am. But, and follow me. What happened is here, you have different type of faith. The salvation faith, you come to him, you're saved forever. Once. And then you have the faith of daily walk, the faith of a Christian walk. You trust him still for your daily walk with him. You see, you're saved once. You're not saved twice. You're saved once. But you still need this small faith of walking with him daily. You need the salvation faith and you need the disciples' faith with him. But it's all based on him. Therefore, brothers and sisters, yes, Mary Fairchild, she's a writer, she says this. Faith is defined as belief with strong conviction. It is a firm belief in something for which there may not be tangible proof. Complete trust, confidence, reliance, or devotion. Faith is the opposite of doubt. You don't doubt Jesus, you have trust in him. It's conviction, is a firm belief in something or someone. And yes, some key reason to put our trust or our faith in Jesus alone. Want to give you some key reason that might come out with what you just said about your trust in him. And I want you to take this. It's all based on the scripture. You know, he is the living and sinless God. I'll remind you again the fact of the great I am in the book of John. He's the living God. Always, the adjective living, he's a living God. It describes who he is. He's not a dead God. The other gods are dead God idols. The world, I tell you, you take all the big religion, where are their leaders, where are their founders today? They're still in their tombs. The only one whose tomb is empty is Jesus Christ. He's the living God, he's the great I am. He made himself sin for us, knowing he did not commit any sin of his own. Why? Because he loves us. The other gods, they love themselves so much, they want the rest of us to sacrifice ourselves for them. This God is the opposite. He knows you can't do anything for yourself. He sacrificed himself for us. Wow. That's why in scripture, who would die for a thief? I'll try to die for a good person, but for a thief, oh, no, he deserved it. You and I were thieves. We're sinners. We're not good people. He came and died for us, the sinners. Wow. That's where the depth of his love is amazing. Amazing love. That's what the song we all love. It's amazing. If you sit and think and reflect about it, it's even hard for us to die for a good person. Everybody wants to preserve his or her life. Let alone to go, oh, he's a crook. To die for a crook. No. He deserves it. But think about it. We're a crook. And he came, no more crook, and he died for us. That love, you will not find anywhere else. That's why John 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You will never find that verse in any other God or any other religion. You will never find it. Think about that. That alone should make you trust in him. That me, a crooked guy, a crooked man, a crooked woman, he died for me. Oh, I love you, Jesus Christ. And yes, why should I trust him? He is the way, the truth, and the life. This world is a messy place. You don't know. You know what? With all your fancy car, you need a paved road. Your car is nice, but there's no road. Go to Africa. Follow me. Some of the road you're going to spend 10, 11 hours. In the mud there. We're pushing. There's no road. Don't take way for granted. You need a way. We all need a way in this mess of life. And he is the way, showing you where to go. Other one don't even know where they're going. And this is why my American sponsor said, Nahum, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. Do you understand? If you don't know where you are going, any road will take you there. I don't know where I'm going. I'm just going there. And then I'm going this way. And where are you going? I don't know where I'm going. Any road will take you there. But if you know where you're going, you're going to heaven. He is the way to take you there. And yes, my friend, he is the truth. Talking about you need truth. Truth. The other one are liars. Deceptive. Lies are there. They can't trust. You know, when people are lying, how do you trust people who are lying? You cannot. And the life. Other places, death, eternal death. But this is life for you. And yes, he wants to set us free from the lies of Satan, from the penalty and power, from power of sin. And yes, he would die and came back to life for the forgiveness of sin. And yes, he wants to give us an abundant life. John 10:10, I have come to give you life. Not only life, but abundant life. Where can you find that promise with another God? Where? Nowhere. Abundant life. And yes, my friend, he wants to use us to bless others. The backbone of Jesus' love, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor like yourself. The love you receive from him, he wants you to pass that on. That's it. This is why this faith, this family faith, this is our value. He is our central thing here. You want to be part of a living faith. You want to be part where sin is taken seriously. We want to be in a place where love defines everything for us. Loving God and loving you. And you love God and loving us. These are the value of our home here, Zion. And Jesus defined for us. And we want to be in a way to go to heaven. We want to live in the truth. We want to be about life instead of death. And yes, we want to be free from life, from power of sin. Yes, we want to be in the forgiveness of sin. Yes, we want to have this abundant life. And that's why, brothers and sisters, we pray for each other. And all this, you know, we must cherish and use faith as a free gift from God. You see, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, through trust. Guess what? It is the gift of God. All this is a gift to us. And just a few of you, Stephanie, what has been one of the most important gifts you receive in life from your family, from a friend? I should have prepared you for this, but... Parents bring you to church. Thank you so much. Another young man here. What have been your most important gift from your parents, let's say?
Being able to go to a
Christian school. Thank you so much. I want everybody to try to remember from your spouse, from your family, from your friend, an important gift you receive. You know the gift you didn't buy. You don't even, mostly, you don't even know how much it costs with the giver. True or false? Usually, even the prices is a cut down the price so that you won't know how much it cost them. I want you to remember some of the most important gifts you receive. For you, it was a free gift. But for the giver won't tell you how much it cost him. Free for you, but not free for the giver. And you appreciate so much. My friend, do you know what next you happen? You know what? You fight to keep that gift. You fight to keep that gift. This is from my wife. Anytime I wear this, I remember Karen. And you know what? I'm not making an idol, but I will cherish this shirt till it's torn or till I leave this world. Because the symbol that it shows me is about my wife that loved me so much. The point is this, whatever wonderful gift you remember, you will do anything in life to fight to keep it, true or false. You will do everything to keep that because of what it represents for you. Brother and sister, for the rest of your life, do the same thing with your faith. This is a priceless gift that you have received freely. But it cost Jesus Christ, God, a lot of work. And that's what I told you several times. It's a priceless gift. Diamond cannot buy it. Gold cannot buy it. It's so expensive that you cannot put a price tag on it. And this is why your gift, your trust, your faith is such a precious gift. Don't play around with it. Keep it. Do everything you do to fight for it. Like your son will do everything to remember that you gave him the best gift of Christian education in the school. That he'll fight to be successful. And my, you know, Stephanie, knowing you, since I came to this church, you have been fighting to help in every way in this church. Now I understand why, because your parents brought you in this church that you never remember, you never forget. The point is this. Whatever way you remember your faith as a gift, do your best to fight for it. Believing in God will not be easy. It won't always feel natural or natural, organic, or effortless. Guess what? Temptation, trial, and the world will always challenge our faith. Yes, if we refuse to fight, our faith will crash. This is not a physical fight where you say, oh, if you don't agree with me, I'm going to kill you. No, no, we're not telling you to do that. But it's a different fight. But to fight, you have to know some of the threat to our faith. For the time of, for sake of time, three threat. I'm putting you here to always remember. Number one is pride. Pride. You see, sometimes we Christians, we can be so proud of ourselves. I'm saved, you're lost there. No, no, no. Please don't go there. Where our own remainder is not our own doing. It's the doing of Jesus Christ. And this is why those who are still struggling in foolishness, those who are still struggling in fear, we have to come to them with compassion. We have to come to them with understanding. And we have to let God go through the process with them as he did for you and for me. It's a journey. Don't forget, the thief on the cross, all his lifetime, he was running around being a thief. Last minute on the cross, God's grace caught up with him there. Therefore, you never know. Some people in all this lifetime, you have no clue. They're crooked. But on their deathbed, something happened that Jesus' grace met them there. Therefore, you know, let us never let pride take over. God opposes the proud and show favor to the humble. James 4, 6. And you remember again Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. It's not your own doing so that you are not proud of yourself. You see there? So pride, let you and I be humble in our faith. Because see, in the coming sermon we'll learn that our faith is for work. Without humility, you will never be able to serve people. I'm giving you a glimpse of that sermon coming later. That's why pride is going to be a threat to your faith. And yes, number of things, destruction of controversies. In our Christian circle, always controversy. You go, what was, a few days ago, one of my friends called me. We used to go to Rexdale together. He's attending another church. He said, oh, no, I have a question for you. My pastor preached the other day on this and that. Do you think what he said was true? I said, oh, controversy. I said, well, you know what? It's better to go and read the Bible. Let me guide you to those passages there, results, and then focus on that. But don't go and attack the pastor. Leave him there. But if you have an opportunity, you can read to him gently, you know? So that's what it is. But you know, controversies happen all over the place, especially our social justice, social stuff coming and political arena. You see, 1 Timothy 6, 4, unhealthy interest in controversy and quarrel about word that result in envy, strife, malice, talk, evil suspicion. Rather, some people are caught up in this. Oh, Jesus is coming in, you know, the return of Jesus Christ. He's coming back in 2 years. They start to sell everything and forcing you to sell your house. Right? Oh, I won't do this because Jesus is coming back. So the whole point is this. You can be caught in so many distractions. Watch out. This is why it's always important to know God's word, understand it, and stay away from controversies. Now, when people ask you, give your opinion with humility. And yes, my sisters, my friend, greed. We are in a world of greed. 1 Timothy 6, 9 to 10. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kind of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierce themselves with many griefs. These are people who have faith, the salvation faith. But the discipleship faith have run into trouble because of the love of money. The Bible does not say for money is the root. No, no, no. It's not about money is the root. It's the love of money. You see the difference right there? We don't want you to stop giving us your tithing and offering. Please bring it. Bring it. But it's the love. Do you love it so much that you have replaced God by money? That's the problem. In this culture, in this world, even in Africa, the gospel of prosperity, in so many circles, the gospel of prosperity has destroyed so many ministries and so many lives that you and I need to check our greed. And this is why, what is the solution? Overcoming the threat to our faith, flight. But you, man of God, woman of God, flee from all this. Flee from pride. Flee from controversies. Flee from the love of money. Now, when you flee, you flee from Markham and go to Scarborough, the problem you run into is there too, right? So what do? You flee, guess what? Why you flee? Just fight. Fight. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. When you were made your good, you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Brothers and sisters, yes, it's both flight and fight. Why are you fleeing? You have to fight. So you understand? Everywhere you go, because sin, greed, pride, controversies are everywhere. You have to understand that. So why are you fleeing some from things, but you have to fight at the same time? And what do you do? Thirdly, pursue Jesus and his value. Pursue Jesus and his value, where we talk about why we trust Jesus Christ. We went through 7 value there. He's the living God. He's the truth. He's the life. Pursue Jesus and his values. But you, man or woman of God, flee from all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness, all found in Jesus Christ. God bless you. As you and I run away from fear, from foolishness, and embrace faith that has come to you and me as a free gift, but cost God his one and only Son. It's so priceless. But because it's so priceless for what it does for you and for me, our salvation, and yes, today and tomorrow, you have to fight to keep it by fighting against pride, controversies, fighting against the greed that can choke your faith. And then you are on your way to be a blessing to yourself, to your family, to this house, to this home, and to the world. God bless you today and tomorrow in Jesus' name. Amen.